Goose's Quizzes Elimination Game is the new Fringe show which we are launching in 2023. We've been working on the concept for a good few years, I'd say 4 years since our last Fringe show in 2019, and now we are launching our new Fringe show, Goose's Quizzes Elimination Game. However, we need to be testing this show, and we've got two test show dates on the 9th of June and the 5th of July, both at Assembly Roxy. And there are tickets to this. If you want to get to them, go to the website, goosesquizzes.com. You can find the tickets. It's free. We just need to know how many people are going to be there and make sure we're not overfilling or underfilling. And there might be a little few perks with those tickets as well. So get them quick and we'll get you along and help us develop the best show we can do.
Let the record show that we have one of our longest-serving hosts on the recording today. Please say your name.
Joe.
Also observing is...
Goose.
So I've called you in today just for a little chat. I've taken your stat sheet from Wikipedia, and it says here that you can't cartwheel and you're from Australia or something like that. Can you confirm or deny
this? That is so rude. It's right about the cartwheeling. I am not from Australia, but...
Where are you from?
I'm from New Zealand.
Right, okay.
I'm also from Sweden.
And Sweden. Okay. Do you have any pets?
No.
Any allergies?
Pollen recently.
Any tattoos?
No.
How long have you been working at Goose's Quizzes?
Officially since 2020.
Mm-hmm. And what are your top five vegetables?
My top five vegetables? You know, I've been thinking about this. So, aubergine, broccoli.
Okay. Oh, broccoli.
Broccoli is underrated.
Yeah.
Leek. Kale.
I confirm broccoli is one of the best veg.
Yeah,
I do
is.
Like some broc.
It gets a bad rap because all the gym bros have stolen it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Broccoli and rice.
I feel like chicken.
Chicken, broccoli. Yeah.
Cauliflower has made a big resurgence recently with the dawn of cauliflower rice.
Yeah, but that's nasty.
I don't know. I'm not too fussed with it. I think it's all right.
You like it?
Well, I'm not too upset. What
do you I do like cauliflower.
Yeah.
Boil it.
Yeah.
Done. So that's all it needs. That's all it needs for me.
Broccoli, leek. What did you say?
Aubergine.
People say aubergine so often, and I don't like aubergine.
Do you not? Have you had yucky aubergine?
No.
Have you had nice aubergine?
I mean, I'm sure I've had aubergine and things and it's been nice, but I just wouldn't gravitate towards aubergine.
I think I've cooked it a few times and it's come out wrong.
Yeah, it can be very snotty.
Yeah.
That's why I think I have aubergine like too often. Mm. It's like that kind of just, I don't know, it's wet. It's like courgette.
I like
it. Imagine a sticky, like falling apart aubergine.
Okay.
This is good. Okay. And it's still like, it's quite fibrous.
Yeah.
So it clings to itself. Uh-huh. It's really good. If you get like a miso aubergine or like a scored aubergine that someone's done in the oven.
Okay.
Mm. Okay. I once made the best slow cooker veggie lasagna once, and I can never replicate it again.
What was in it?
We should say Bernie's here as well.
Yeah, Bernie's here as well, which he'll make known, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah, so if you hear any rustling, any barking, that's Goose, but it's then Bernie's here as well. It was zucchini, it was aubergine, probably mushrooms, onion, what else?
For you?
Yeah.
Oh, a bit of cheese, maybe?
Oh, in the lasagna that I made.
Oh, right. I thought you were meaning your top five veg. I was like, wow, this is quite a...
Onion has to be in the top five veg.
For sure. There's two that I think are just, without fail, have to be there. Onion is one of them. And the other is...
Garlic? No?
No.
What? Does garlic not count as a vegetable?
I'd probably say not. I'd say it's more of a herb.
Nah.
I'd count as a
It's
vegetable.
A bulb, is it not? The garlic. It's not really the veg of it. It's not the sort of...
Bulbous.
Main... No, there's another vegetable that I would say is like just base root. You have to go with it.
Potato.
You have to have potato in your top five veg. It's so versatile. Do you not like crisps?
Yeah, I do like crisps.
People don't really associate crisps as being vegetables.
Five a day.
They are.
I mean, they are. I'm not denying it.
And treat them as one of my five a day.
This is the problem with starchy veg, though. People exclude them, right? Stuff like... I can't think of another starchy veg. Sweet potato. Yeah. Kumara.
Kumara.
Pumpkin.
I've not said kumara for so long. Yeah.
What's kumara?
Sweet potato.
Oh.
Kiwi yams. Sweet potato.
Is that yams?
Yeah, I think yams are way a bit different.
They're similar, but not quite the same. Kumara.
Oh.
Have you had a Japanese sweet potato?
Is that the purple one?
Yeah.
Nah.
Good.
Oh.
No, they're nice. Yeah. Not that it's good that you haven't had one.
Okay, good to get those crossed off.
I forget mine all the time. I feel like every time some people say them, I mostly just go, well, that's definitely not on mine. So.
Sweet corn.
Sweet corn's on mine.
Does not count.
Doesn't do it for you.
So good, sweet
corn.
Yeah,
it's very delicious. But again, not vegetable category in my head.
What is it to you? Canned foods?
Yeah, maybe. Things I'd eat when I'm hungover.
Corn, you'd go for hungover.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Like that's on the cob? Creamed corn.
Cream corn is good. No, just I'd make like a sweet corn fritter, or I'd eat it straight out the can.
You know, I can't remember how we got onto cartwheel.
That was the other night, and also you haven't followed through on your promise to show me how to do one in the meadows.
True. We will.
I think I'm too scared now, Scott. I think I've passed the time.
To cartwheel.
Mm. Nah. I think I now have a mental block that's never going to allow me to experience the joys of the world upside down.
Just have to start out soft.
Do you think?
Yeah,
for sure. Do the little bunny hop.
Yeah. And like a nice soft surface.
Mm.
Maybe like throw yourself around a little bit first.
Like in a soft play.
Yeah. I used to work in one.
Did you?
Yeah. That was my first job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well. When I was like still old enough to play in the soft play.
What, you were four?
I was 14.
14, you're working in the sun. Did 14? No way is a 14-year-old going in. No,
absolutely not. We had a party there once.
Yeah.
Like a...
What, in your one?
I was going to say an adult party, but it wasn't an adult party. It was a not-for-children party.
I'm sure people do have adult parties in those places.
Probably. Right? We weren't drinking and stuff, but it was just like all the staff. We had our staff party there. Oh. And it was great. Just run through.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Although.
Bally Ballison. They do a very satisfying TikTok when they put them all through the ball cleaning machine.
Right.
And then they have all the, they show in detail where the staff members are cleaning stuff, which I appreciate.
Okay.
I love a good cleaning sequence.
I had to do all the balls by hand in my place. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You did not clean those properly. You were 14 years old. You did not give a shit about those balls.
No, I did, because if I was doing that, then I didn't have to do the worst jobs.
What was the worst job?
I mean, mopping, sweeping.
How is mopping and sweeping two very normal day-to-day activities worse than hand cleaning balls from a ball pit?
Because I just get to sit there and go, yep, spray, throw it in the clean section.
So you sprayed each ball individually?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. It was probably a lot fewer than what was in Bally Ballison.
Yeah, there's a lot in there, huh? It's also huge. It seems fun. My hairdresser was going to go for her birthday. And she said that you're told not to wear like high heels or a dress, but she was going to wear high heels and a dress because it was her birthday and she wanted to, you know.
Dress up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you do. But then I saw her after and she was like, I shouldn't have worn the dress.
Oh, really?
Yeah, obviously not. You're running around in a ball pit and it's like this tiny little dress.
Oh, yeah, fair.
You don't want that.
True. Yeah, true. Is there other things there besides the ball pit?
Yeah, I've never been in, I don't know.
Because it's in where...
Some forest
road. Malone's used
to... Oh, yeah, way back in the day.
Yeah.
And but after McSorley's? It was Malone's, it was McSorley's, yeah.
McSorley's.
It is a dream of mine to go, however.
Right.
You know, if you ever walk by at like 1 a.m.
No.
You never. It's always drama outside, it's great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I usually go the other way up. Where if you're walking from like, say, Grassmarket.
Yeah.
And to the right is... that bar, I usually take the fork to the left towards not there.
What do you mean? Oh, you go to the left Bedlam.
Like very, towards Bristol Square. Exactly. Yeah. So very close, but never past it.
Okay. But you could hear it maybe.
Maybe. I always have headphones glued to my head. Always.
Even at night.
Always.
I've actually noticed this, that you are very unobservant walking around the street.
No, that's my, yeah. Yeah, I know. I understand. That's my privilege.
Because I've walked past you so many times and you never clocked.
All right.
Yeah. I walked past you like 5 times, yeah. I promise.
Yeah, and very, even like, yeah, I am in my own space, in my
own
world.
That's good. That's nice. I'm so happy you get to have this beautiful, lovely space.
I had someone like jump out at me once, like
a
friend.
Funny joke. Okay.
A friend. Just kind of like step in front of me and wave, and I just blanked him because I thought it was someone else. Like,
and that's how you would react to that situation. You would just blank the person.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I thought it was just a stranger being funny.
You would blank that? You wouldn't interact?
Not really.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, I'm happy.
Just leave me alone. Yeah. Let me have my happy little fun time in my head.
Yeah, yeah. But I think if we get something soft like a mattress.
Mm. Oh, sorry. Yeah, the cartwheeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just really scared, Scott.
You'll be right.
Yeah.
I'll teach you how to, like, roll and
fall. I can do, like, a roly-poly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's halfway there.
I could also, during COVID, I tried to learn how to do a handstand.
Okay.
Because I used to be able to do a handstand. And then I was having a great time.
Yeah.
But I used to also be hench. I'm not hench anymore.
You told me what that means. Like,
yeah, buff.
Buff.
Mm.
Right.
And I'm not anymore, so I don't think I have the strength.
Okay.
Which is a shame.
Hmm.
Cartwheels also require strength.
Nah.
Momentum. Rigidity. Exclusively. Rigidity.
Yeah. Just lock your joints as they teach you in gym. Just lock all your joints.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I did one the other day because I was talking to someone about this. And they're like, can you do a cartwheel? And
this
like,
has really been cemented.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, you said you were doing them. Oh, no, sorry. I shouldn't say.
It's all right. No. I used to do handstands here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Louis filmed me doing one.
Yeah.
It's not a secret.
Not a secret. Up and down the corridor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there. I don't think anyone knows about that.
Yeah, see, that's not.
Right. That's fine.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. I actually think this would be a good place to make into a maze or something.
Yes.
Every single time I come here, lost.
Yeah.
Lost.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
Yeah. Sometimes you just walk into someone's office.
Gone for days.
Days.
Gone for days.
Do you think you would enjoy a ball pit as an adult more if the balls were bigger? Because when you're young, the balls are small and they have a sort of better size to person ratio when they're small in the ball pit. You know, I think about 7 centimeters, yeah. 8 centimeters?
Tennis ball
like
size.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, a touch bigger than a tennis ball, I'd say.
So something you think like it's that. It's like a scaling thing.
But as you get bigger, so what, you're meant to be half your height when you're 5, is it? Or when you're 4?
I don't know, I'm so bad with stuff like that.
And that roughly, so why aren't they making about twice the size?
Yeah, but I think the joy is that they're small and that you can be entirely covered.
Or should they be smaller?
Smaller.
Ping pong balls.
Oh, no. Like, what's the ones that in the water?
Orbeez.
Orbeez.
Yeah.
I think that would be so nice. But then I'd have a fear of them going in orifices.
Maybe, yeah.
Up my nose.
They're quite nice to play with, though.
There's a story about a wee girlie who put a pee up her nose.
Pee?
Yeah, is that in English also?
A fit. I don't know. I've never heard of that. A pee.
Mm.
Just for fun?
Maybe it's Astrid Lindgren.
Girl who put pee up her nose.
Yeah, is her name... This is so embarrassing that I can't remember.
And
Madicken. Madicken has a pee up her nose.
Is this like a fairy tale?
No, it's like a children's book.
Oh. How to remove an object from your child's nose.
Yeah, see, it's a common occurrence.
Oh, you close one nostril, you hold your finger over the nostril, and you blow up the other.
Yeah. Do you ever get when you eat shredded carrots that it goes up your nose?
No.
No.
I also eat shredded carrots very much. But
you don't?
In salads, maybe, sometimes.
My dad, when I was a kid, just used to put shredded carrots on the side of every meal.
Oh, okay.
But they always make their way up instead of down.
Oh, at the... Right.
At the back of my throat.
Okay, not externally.
No. I try and swallow externally. It. Goes up through my nose.
I'm just eating so much and so fast that they just got my nose.
I think I've definitely coughed with like a pea or something or some corn in my mouth and it's gone up. Not great.
No, it's horrible. I don't eat shredded carrots ever.
Really?
I hate them.
Well, because they go up your nose.
Because I just feel it in my nose as soon as I eat it.
I don't think that's the Shredder Carrot's fault, to be honest. It sounds like maybe a problem you have with eating.
I have a really gross story.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Please. You know that thing that some people do where they like snort spaghetti and then bring it out their mouth and you can do like the flossing thing?
Yeah.
I did that once. And then I was like, oh, it's funny. And then about an hour later, I like could feel something in the back of my head and I went to the bathroom and like coughed and a bit of spaghetti came out. But it just broken off.
Right.
Yeah.
Spaghetti, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all the same. I mean, all the stuff from your eyes, from your nose, it all goes down your throat anyways.
Yeah, everything there is all kind of, well,
it all comes out the same way.
We've talked about this in the podcast recently, neti pots. You've got a neti pot.
Yeah.
Do you know neti pots?
When you pour it through your nose?
Yeah. It's a revelation in my life that I love now.
Was it you that I was talking about cleaning out your ears?
I don't think so.
The extraction.
Sorry, you looked at me as if like that was a really bad thing. Like, as if whoever you've spoken to about this, as they've had an ordeal.
Yeah, well, they lost their hearing for a couple of weeks, and then they went and got their
earwax
suctioned.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've heard good things about it. A friend of mine swears by it once a month. He goes and gets it done.
Once a month?
Gets his ears. His ears, like, cleaned out. He says it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of people with those ear cameras.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, they just see what's in their ear and chop it all out. Can I just say, and I'm sure this is going to be edited down to this point, but we have had an ordeal at the start of this podcast getting Bernie settled down, and now he's laid down. I'll be honest, there is one of those things. You know that people do that thing where it's like you do like a marathon, and at the end of it, you feel like the endorphin rush you feel at the end of it is amazing because you're like, I've gone through such a hard thing. That's what having a dog is like. It's, you know, a young dog where it's like you spend... You know, I spent this morning prepping that we're going to come into the office and like, right, well, take him for a good run, make sure he's properly tired out, all this kind of stuff, you know, and then bring him to the office. Nightmare. Absolute nightmare fuel. Running around, just being a nightmare. That's been about, what, 45 minutes of him trying to settle down? And now he's just laid down right next to Joe, just being all like, I'm a cool dog. I'm really tired. It's like, oh, I'm all pooped from being a nightmare.
But I wouldn't melt in his mouth.
We're also in a problem that was the last poo bag that I used outside. Right. So let's hope he doesn't need to go again.
This place is full of dog owners.
Exactly. I'll find somebody else.
Yeah. So we'll put an email blast out now.
I need a poo bag now.
Hi there, pretty please. Help. Pretty Help. Please.
There's quite a worry. I mean, that should be in the Facebook. You know, there's a Facebook residence group.
Really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's the least used Facebook group in the, like, of all time.
Yeah.
I find that cute though.
I think
can you like give people a little message? Hi guys, anyone want to go for a pint? Love heart.
I think we should do that more. It'd be really nice, but we don't.
Do you want me to put one up now?
Yeah.
Asking for poo bags and pints.
We need poo bags and pints. That just feels like whatever we've got wrong at the moment is a
favorite Arctic Monkeys album.
Poo bags and pints.
Yes. Poo bags and pints.
Well, we've now got the episode title. Apologies, I didn't mean to get into dog ownership so quickly.
It's fine.
I have a dog.
It's bound to happen.
It's all I talk about.
It's pretty cute.
Well, we can get into the questions.
We can.
This is the percentage game. We have 5 quiz questions that we have put to our IRL weekly pub quizzes. We know the percentage of the hundreds of teams who have got each question correct. In the percentage game, we work together to guess the answers and then compete against each other to guess the percentage of the teams got the questions correct. Whoever gets closest to the actual percentage gets the most points. Whoever gets furthest away from the actual percentage gets the least points. The easier the question, the higher the percentage, etc. At the end, the scores are totaled and whoever gets the most points wins.
Okay. Thank you very much, Scott.
That's all right.
That okay was maybe a little loud for the situation.
It's fine. I like the enthusiasm.
Thank you very much, Scott. That was very good. Very good explanation of what we're doing. 5 questions. Let us get into it. You wrote all these. You wrote them a while ago, Joe.
Did you? Don't know.
Did you write these? You wrote them.
I did write them. Did I?
Yeah. They look like they're new question tags, so...
I don't know
what the questions are.
Yeah, I don't know if Louis put them all in or some of.
Yeah.
And we should also say that Louis's not here because he's turned into a dog and his name's Bernie now.
Yeah.
So he is not here today. So I'm filling in. I'm doing the question mastering bit. Let us get into this. Question one. Name the Scottish Gaelic poet whose works include Cuillin and poems to... Emir.
Keelan?
I can't.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Name this the Gaelic poet whose works include Keelan and poems to Eimear. E-I-M-H-I-R.
I'm not going to embarrass myself. It's the Quillen, I think. Do you know the answer?
I don't. I'm not good with poetry.
No.
If it's not.
I think it's.
Can't even name a poet.
Robert Frost. Know this one, you know it, and you'll guess that you know it.
Nah.
I think.
And I'm especially.
And if you
not
don't
down.
Know it, then you're like,
nah.
I don't care.
Don't know it.
About this person.
Don't know it.
It's Sorley McLean.
Sorley McLean is correct, yes.
Yes. Well, sorry, I did write this.
For your own
actually.
Answer.
Right.
Okay. But the big question is, how many people do you think, what percentage of teams do you think knew this?
Are you big into poetry?
Moment.
Are you big into your poetry?
No. The reason that I wrote this was because it's what I was writing my diss on at uni.
Oh, really?
All this stuff. Because I was writing about legacies of the Highland Clearances.
What did you
cultural
study?
Cultural outputs of the 20th century.
Right.
What did you study at uni?
History and English Lit.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That makes sense then.
Yeah.
So how many people do you think, what percentage of teams do you think know these kind of things? How relevant was your degree?
I don't know. Let me see. There was a question about the Act of Union last night that I ran that people did not do a standing Leon. Right. So my faith and not faith, but I don't know how much people know. Right. Are you going to go already?
Yeah.
I'm not looking.
Scott's a pro at this. He's won lots recently.
What?
I'm experienced.
There you go.
Okay.
Are we doing 3, 2, 1?
Yeah, show me your boards. Show me your boards. Okay. What did you say, Joe?
31.
Oh, wait, let me double check who's who. Okay, right. 31. Okay.
I said 20.
20. So both low percentages, I would say. 31% for Joe, 20% for Scott. That actually came out at 7%.
Oh, my gosh.
Teams got that one correct. So now you know 7% of teams.
Mm. Tough
That's
question.
Savage from me.
I mean,
I think maybe people know. Just, you know, when you know a lot about one thing and then you assume everyone knows that stuff.
So I think it's that displays something that we often have an issue with, is that we're not allowed to write topics and things that we know well.
Mm.
Like Louis's not allowed to write about cycling.
Mm.
I'm not allowed to write about the Bible.
Mm. I'm not allowed to write. Full stop.
Scott knows so much about everything. That
yeah.
It's just become
that sounds like a brag, but it's
too
not.
Too smart.
No, I'm sure there are things. I mean, probably what you are not allowed to write about is Australia.
I think Australia and anatomy
but
stuff.
But you always say
music.
That it's too embarrassing to read questions about Australia when you're doing the quiz.
Yeah.
You're always like, oh, I didn't write this.
I always preface it with, I didn't write this.
Why? Because it seems so obvious to you.
No. Just because it was like, oh, typical in Australian.
Yeah,
putting an Australian.
Yeah.
So,
hey, fair enough. When a good Kiwi question comes up, I'm sure that's fun.
Yeah, I love it. I'm like, yeah, you guys better know this. Yeah.
I do always, if there is like, I think there's one the other day where, where's the platypus native to?
Yeah.
And when I read out Australia, I always say, oh, I thought I was going to get bigger applause. Bigger cheer.
Okay. I heard a team go absolutely crazy. This will lead into a question I'm going to ask you, Joe.
Okay.
But I was doing the Queen's Arms on Sunday. Good quiz. First time I've ever run it. And we've run it for about, I think we've run it for about 6 or 7 years now.
8 p.m. Sunday.
Long time we've run that for. And I've never run the quiz there before.
Sick.
So I was all excited. We've always had hosts doing it there.
It's such a lovely wee pub.
I
Not
love
wee.
It. Yeah.
It's quite large.
It's one of my favourite pubs in Edinburgh.
Yeah, it's so good. Because
it's also one of the most traditional pubs in the centre of Edinburgh.
And it's very well located. You don't get many nice traditional pubs around there.
No. It's either a Wetherspoons, boo.
Or unless you go Rose Street, but a lot of them.
Yeah, but they're quite small. Mm. And Queen's Arms is a decent size. So I was in there, I was running the quiz, and then there was a music question where the answer was Whitney Houston. And a big group of 6 guys, quite like sportsy guys, you know, were doing the quiz at the bar. And I announced Whitney Houston, and they all went crazy. It's like amazing to hear this. I just thought it was a really fun one for them all to go
that's so cute.
I told you that was the answer. I told
go
you that
feral.
Was it.
It's like, no, yeah. That's wholesome.
But do you have highlights from your hosting career with us?
Yeah, see, I've been trying to think about this. I mean, I definitely have like groups of quizzes that stick out and like regulars that I remember. Nice. Forever.
Yeah, that's always quite wholesome.
Yeah, nice, or like unlikely groups of people that come to the quiz together. Like a lot of like, there's a dad and a son that come every week to one of the quizzes, stuff like that. It's just wholesome. Or you get people coming after unlikely events. People coming after funerals.
Yeah, that does happen quite a lot. We've run quizzes at wakes quite a few times.
You know what happened though? Maybe we don't put.
Well, you say it, and I'll gauge.
It was really bad. Okay. It
was if this part fades out, you know why. Okay, continue.
It was at one of the places where I did the quiz. Mm-hmm. Unnamed for now. And their sound system is just like, you just turn their music down, you turn yours up, and that's it. That's the only thing. There's no switch over or anything like that. You don't change the channel.
It's not like an override. No. Yeah.
So I just tuned my thing up, and it's like, I think it was Lenny Kravitz. It was Fly Away by Lenny Kravitz. Mm-hmm. I'm blasting it. It's a great song. I love it.
Yep.
Play every quiz, whatever. Catchy. Yeah, catchy. Universal appeal. Great song. The manager comes running over, and he's like, Joe, you know what? It's playing upstairs as well. And I was like, oh. Does that always happen? I didn't know that. And he was like, yeah, but you have to fucking turn it off because it's awake upstairs. It's awake. And I was like, oh no, Fly Away, bro, at the wake. Bad vibes. Oh, wow. It was really embarrassing. But then they came down and they were lovely. No, oh, it doesn't matter. Thought it was funny. Which is good.
People tend to be pretty chill about these things, I'd say.
But had they not been.
That's true. That would have been quite awkward. Yes. But I don't think that would have been you to deal with. That would have been them.
It was very loud.
And surely that's not like the worst part of their day.
This is true.
It's one of those things that's probably quite good to happen at a wake where it's like, oh, remember that funny thing that happened at so-and-so's wake? That was quite nice, you know?
Yeah, this is true.
I did a quiz wake for somebody, and he was a huge Doctor Who fan. So I had to write Doctor Who round, and I don't watch Doctor Who, but I've never really ever seen it. And wrote this round, and like it was basically, and he was a really nice guy, and I knew the guy that I was doing it for. And there was a part of me that afterwards, a few people came up to me and said the same thing. It's like he's punishing you from the grave. It's like he used to ask me every week for a Doctor Who round. I'd never do one. I'd be like, no, I'm not doing Doctor Who round. Not enough people are that into it that big on it. And you just know all the answers, so what's the point?
Yeah.
And then I was like, right, fine, fine. And then obviously, doing his wake, it's like, well, I'm going to have to do a Doctor Who round. Did a Doctor Who round.
Yeah, so he got what he wanted.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's not worth it for this. it was good. What venues do you do?
I do the Merlin on a Monday, 7:30 in Morningside. I do Indigo Yard on a Wednesday, also at 7:30. And I do the Broughton or the Broughton. God knows there's contention about how to say it.
Broughton.
Broughton.
The Broughton is what I hear from the Edinburgh locals.
Yeah, Broughton is what I would say.
Broughton. But, you know, I'm not from here, so I get to say what I
like. We get a free pass.
We get a free pass to mispronounce everything. It's so good.
I get a lot of feedback from different people about like our hosts and stuff and what's going on. And my favourite is when people try and explain, especially between the two of you, being Antipodean. they're like, there's some kind of Australian Kiwi sort of accent. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. We've got one of each.
You've narrowed it down.
Question number two. Who wrote the song All Along the Watchtower? So who wrote the song All Along the Watchtower? I have read I ran this one the other week.
Is this the one that I got wrong when I said to you, Scott?
Yeah.
Wait, so you wrote the question.
Yeah, so I don't know the answer.
Brilliant.
Either. I didn't even fact check Excel social.
You need to discuss the answer first.
Well, I don't know what it is, do I?
What did you say?
I thought it was Jimi Hendrix.
I see.
So he's usually credited with it.
And has the most famous version of it.
Yeah, he has the most famous version.
But by like far.
Bob Dylan.
It's Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I thought Bob Dylan did a cover.
Yeah.
That annoys me. As somebody who has a name that is also a Bob Dylan song.
It was pretty controversial at the time, I think, as far as I understand, that it was really soon after it. Bob Dylan wrote it, and then Jimi Hendrix covered it almost immediately afterwards. Made a way better version. Really, really soon. So,
yeah. Well, I don't know. I think I I'm a good marker of the everyman. So if I don't know it, no one will know it. Isn't what I mean by that. Okay.
I mean...
No, actually, maybe. People love Bob Dylan. A lot.
That's the difficult part of this whole game. It's figuring out what percentage of teams you think will know this.
People also love Jimi Hendrix.
People do love Jimi Hendrix.
Think how many coffee table books there are about either of these.
True. Many, true. Many.
This is true. I wasn't sure where that was going, but yes, I agree.
Just think of how many coffee shops there are.
Yeah.
There are so many coffee shops.
I also think about that often, yeah. One of Jimi Hendrix's famous quotes.
Love a good flat white. Right, okay. Oh, I don't know. I'm done.
So for this one, it's not just that confusion, but it's who knows it outright anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a tough question. Has a little bit of double pack. All right, let me show you boards now. Show me boards. Okay.
Wow.
Scott, what did you go for?
I was going straight out the guts, 50%.
50%. And Joe.
Oops,
38%. Okay, 50% and 38%. One of you is definitely closer. It came out at 57%. Which is 7%. So Scott only 7% away. Joe at 19% away.
That's really bad.
Hey, I think it's fair. You were burnt after the first question.
I know. And I'm never, you know, my confidence has been knocked now. I'm never going to claw my way back up that ladder.
No, you're just getting your eye in.
Yeah.
Okay, just getting that
range finders, these are.
Yeah. You guys got a weird mirror. I can pep talk.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Pep talk in a mirror.
Yeah.
So you said before you can teach us some Swedish.
Ah, yeah, I can teach you some Swedish.
Also Swedish.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Give us your best of both worlds.
Give us your Sweden history.
So my mum's Swedish. I lived in. So I'm born in New Zealand. Lived there till I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
My dad stays there still, but my mum and my stepdad are both Swedish.
Uh-huh.
Moved to Sweden.
Nice.
To Malmö.
Mm-hmm.
Malmö, Sverige. And I lived there till I was 18. You've been there.
You've not been there.
I got so excited.
I've been to Sweden.
Have you been to Malmö?
Nope.
No.
I've been to Stockholm twice.
Of course you have.
Yeah, I know.
Of course. No, no.
Played rugby there. It's fun.
You played rugby in Stockholm?
Yeah, I played there twice.
I went to a school that was pretty good at rugby.
Oh, yeah?
It's not one of the only schools that plays rugby.
Maybe I'd have played against some of them at this tournament.
Potentially.
It was a big 10s tournament.
Right.
It was really fun.
Yeah, was it?
It was mostly about drinking. Yeah. Outside of Stockholm slightly.
When was this? Like, what, were you in school? Or?
No, I did it when I was at university.
Right, yeah.
So, went twice. Once with Christensen Sport, and then once I organised the trip myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good.
I've been to Gothenburg.
Yeah, oh, Gothenburg is lovely.
Yeah.
West Coast, that's super nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I went ice skating for the second time in my life.
In your life?
That's good.
You never been Murrayfield?
Yeah,
the disco skating.
But that, I went there before I came here. Yeah, so
that's cute.
Yeah, no, it's nice. I like Sweden.
Yeah, you should go to Malmö. Malmö's really nice.
Okay,
Malmö's super nice.
I went to a bunch of like the little islands.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah,
I went somewhere on family holiday around there called Valby.
Uh huh.
I think it's one of these island places.
Nice.
Very
yeah.
rocky. Well, it's very distinct landscape as opposed to down south.
Yeah. I went in, geez, it must have been March, and the place was just dead because I think it was all like summer house for people. So walking around, and I think I saw like one small child on a swing the whole time.
That's
I was there.
That's a bit scary.
Yeah.
You know what? That doesn't do well to dispel fucking scary stereotypes about sweets, okay? Which are propagated by popular media, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is very annoying. Uh-huh. But, you know, creepy kid on a swing. Have you seen Let the Right One Come In? Excuse me. No way. Go on.
I mean, every country has their scary movies after them, don't they?
Yeah, but Midsummer.
Great.
I feel like Sweden has a sort of darkness about its like kind of horror.
Because it's dark.
Naturally, it's a dark place.
We cleared that up. Good.
It does feel there's quite a sort of, dark, like kind of, I don't know what the word is. Yeah, like horror in I think Scandinavian countries in general feel like there's a kind of darkness in their kind of like their kind of horror
folklore.
And like that. Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say. I feel like it has so much to do with the folklore, and also because it's so popularized, right?
Yeah,
like Scotland also has this in terms of like, you know, unoccupied spaces or like, because in Sweden you have like the top half of the country essentially is so much less densely populated than the south, which is very similar to Scotland, right?
Yeah.
So you've got such a long history of folklore and stuff that has been really well documented of site-specific creepy shit.
Yeah.
So like, it's, what's it called? Like the goat man. Jätmannen. Do you know the goat man?
Was that from Sweden?
Yeah, I think it's a thing here as well, though.
No,
I don't think so. We had Mr. Tumnus.
Well, from Narnia.
Yeah, from Narnia. Well known based in Scotland. So.
What's the goat man?
Yeah.
The goat man is a figure that appears and takes on the appearance and the voice of whomever encounters. So like it steals your voice and your appearance.
Oh, like a mimic.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's terrifying.
It's fucking scary.
Yeah. That kind of those kind of folklore. I don't know if we definitely do have that in Scotland.
In Scotland, you've got like sprites and fairies and all this crazy stuff.
I feel like I don't know it well enough. That's why I live in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Because I want to sort of have a city life of
Will-o'-the-Wisp, all this stuff.
Yeah, there is a lot of stuff actually. Yeah. And haggis.
Haggis.
You've heard the story of haggis, right?
What, the mythical creature?
What, the three-legged things that run around hills?
Yeah, so cute.
With one leg shorter than the other two, so it can run on like slopes. It's great fun.
That's quite cute. That reminds me of the little goats that lick the rock.
The goats that lick the rock. I don't... How do I not know any, like, myths?
That's not a myth. Those are just normal goats.
That's just goats.
Favorite animal? Goat.
I went on a holiday once, and there was this goat in the paddock that used to, just carry this rock around, just chewing on this rock.
Aww.
Yeah.
They like the salt.
Horrible sound.
Don't you remember this meme from, like, 2012? They crave that mineral.
What, goats?
I don't remember.
Are you really into goats?
It's the goats that climb the cliffs.
Any tattoos? No. Only goat tattoos.
Only the back piece dedicated to goats.
I don't think I'm familiar with that meme.
Whatever, it's goats that lick salt from rock.
Right.
And they climb vertical rock faces. Very impressive, actually.
Yeah, definitely know about them. Okay, good. And when did you come to Scotland?
2018,
nice.
I think.
Cool.
Yeah, for uni.
Sweet, and you studied
English Lit and History, and then I stuck around. Now I'm chilling.
Yeah. Nice.
So good.
Cool.
So good.
Okay, question three. Which ingredient gives Kewpie mayonnaise its distinctive rich flavor from which differentiates it from most other brands of mayonnaise in the Western world? So, question three, which ingredient gives Kewpie mayonnaise its distinctive rich flavor which differentiates it from most other brands of mayonnaise in the Western world?
This is like the bottle that's shaped like a small child, right?
It's got a wee kid on it.
Yeah.
Okay. I totally don't know what this is.
It's so good. Have you ever had it?
It's like a real...
super rich. It's like a wee... Like, the bottle's like that, right? Like, it's like a...
Joe's making hand signals.
Yeah, sorry. I know this is not descriptive.
Mayonnaise bottle-shaped hand signals.
A podcast medium. Recorded
it's
medium.
It's just like a bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, it's real... Like, it's not the thick. Sort of, like, the PET hardish plastic. It's like the soft...
Squishy, aye.
Yeah.
And then the nozzle, when you open the nozzle, it's like one, like, that you would pipe stuff with.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's like a star... What do you call
cross,
that star?
Cross section.
Yeah, like a star thingy.
Yeah.
Delicious. It's very good.
I'll need to try it. Mayonnaise is never high on my list of things that I have, but I had garlic mayonnaise last night, which was very good.
I like mayonnaise. When I was in Netherlands, I bought... Netherlands have good mayonnaise.
Oh, they're so good.
I bought like a high-fat mayonnaise.
It's not mayonnaise high fat.
Yeah. I think. But this was, yeah.
Very high
fat. And just, it was came in like a little, like one of those metal tubes, like tomato paste would.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Oh.
And I just carried it around with me. Backpacking. Yep.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was.
That I love stuff good. In tubes.
Jump into a supermarket, get some rolls, get some ham, yeah. Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah. It's weird here how... Sorry.
Refrigerated. Do you not need it to refrigerate it? It's
serving suggestion.
So, you had diarrhea for the whole time you were around. You need to actually answer this question. So, do you both know the answer?
It's just the yolk, right?
Yeah.
Just egg yolk.
Yeah, so excited good. About it.
I love eggs so much. It's my favorite thing in the entire world.
Is that why I wrote this question?
Yeah.
Okay. Eggs are good.
I also really like mayonnaise.
And very versatile.
That's fair. That's fair.
I don't know how many people are going to know this.
Yeah, what percentage of teams knew the answer to this one? If it helps, I can tell you I'd never heard of it and still even of all the description, everything I've done, I even have ever seen it.
You often get it if you get like sushi and stuff, it's on the side sometimes. If you get like a dragon roll or something. I don't know. Anyways.
Okay. Show me your boards. Show me boards. Okay. Joe, what did you say?
53. Scott put my favorite number.
Scott put
36.
36 is your favorite number?
Mm.
Hey, good number. 53, 36. The actual percentage came out 13%.
What?
So low.
That's so low. I think it's
been run twice.
That is low for that kind of question. I would have thought yellow and egg yolk could be fairly the same. There is an issue, though. Not an issue. When a question gets longer, the longer the question, the harder it becomes.
Mm.
Always. Just as soon as it has more words in it, everyone just goes, well, not everyone, there's a percentage of teams that just go, oh, I'll never know the answer to this.
I stopped listening.
Yeah. Even though it could be a fairly straightforward question.
Yeah.
It's just people, if it's too long, they'll just go, no, I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Sure. So it's so frustrating because they might enjoy the question if they engaged a bit better. So who knows?
Hello folks, Jack here. Just to let you know that Outside the Box is back at Assembly Roxy on Thursday the 22nd of June. Our flagship cryptic event is chock full of questions to tease the creative side of your brain, from matching AI paintings to the artist they're aping, to decoding pop lyrics from Shakespearean English. With prizes to be won from a black axe throwing session to a Holyrood distillery tour, to non-alcoholic spirits from Talonmore, showing off your smarts has never been so rewarding. Book your tables of 4 and 6 today via the Assembly Roxy website.
I have a question for you.
Fire on.
Yeah.
New Zealand's obviously an English-speaking country, so it's different. But Sweden, what noise does a chicken make in Swedish?
I don't know. A rooster goes kukuli ku.
Yeah, see?
There we go.
This is one of my favorite questions to ask people from different countries. Okay. It's what noise do the animals make?
But this pisses me off because I can't actually remember what sound. Wait a sec.
This is starting to step on the like Arrested Development.
Oh, definitely. It gets very close to like you sort of. There's a funny thing where you go, why do we say like cock-a-doodle-doo for a chicken or for a rooster when really it doesn't really sound. It kind of does sound like that, but. Different countries have different versions of all of these things.
Yeah.
Same with like pigs and chickens and ducks and everything. They all have a different noise.
I think it's a Spanish song, maybe Portuguese, where they go through a whole bunch of the different animals. It's a very catchy song.
Right.
It's very annoying. It's like a kid song.
Yeah, we also have a song. Like a pig goes nuff, nuff, nuff.
No, it doesn't.
What's
that?
this is a song you sing at midsummer, right? You're jumping, dancing around the maypole.
Yeah.
You go through all the different animals and make the different noises. So you have, but actually I think that's the that's the frog noise. Because the song's called Smörgrodorna, which is about the little frogs.
Wait, sorry?
Smörgrodorna.
That's not what I heard.
Did you not get that the first time?
No, I didn't get that the first time. Pat, please carry on.
Smörgrodorna Now that I feel like I'm put on the spot, I don't know if I remember the words to this song, which is very
no problem. The base question is,
what
I find it funny that animals in different languages have different noises.
It's
a good question.
Yeah, it is a very good question.
But I really can't remember any, because Old MacDonald Head is a farm. It's a good one for establishing
with an oink oink sounds. Here and an oink oink there.
And here an oink, there an oink.
And a quack quack. But yeah, I remember there was one in French that made me laugh so much of it being so different.
Yeah, I think now there's horses or something. Make a funny noise.
I think duck made a funny noise in French as well. Anyway, if you have any great ones from yourself at home, let us know, because we'd love to know.
Yeah, right.
Send a little voice recording. There are a lot of people who speak different languages, but please send a voice recording of it, because I'd love to hear what people have to say.
There's got to be some good ones.
We'll play it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, question four. Question four. Finish the 2016 Brexit headline from the Daily Mail. Take a blank, Britain! Exclamation mark. So, finish the 2016 Brexit headline from the Daily Mail. Take a blank, Britain.
2016 headline.
Yeah. Yes. See, I wrote this and I can't remember the answer.
So, Brexit didn't happen until 2020.
But it was voted for.
It was voted for.
Yeah.
Take a...
I think it's like in the immediate aftermath. Right.
I'm torn between stand and bow, which is very opposing things.
Do you know the Daily Mail?
Bow?
Yes, bow is the right answer.
Yeah, okay. It was bow. See, I couldn't remember.
Take a bow, Britain.
Okay. So, this one, percentage.
I don't know the public anymore. I thought me and the public were united. I thought we had one voice that, you know, I was the everyman. I've been proven wrong.
Go home and take a long, hard look at yourself.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to go have another pep talk with myself in the mirror and be raging.
You know this, come on.
No more positive self-talk. Mindfulness is out the window. Oh, mate.
Come on now.
No. It'll be happy, happy vibes. I don't know. So, you figured it out by logic.
Yeah. Just need a percentage of teams that you think got this right. I feel so bad not giving little helpful clues and hints and stuff like that, but I've got nothing to give you, so just need a percentage. Everyone got a percentage written down?
Okay.
All right, I got one.
Okay, show me boards. Joe, you said?
65.
And Scott, you said?
78.
So, Joe with 65, Scott with 78. The actual percentage came at 41%.
Hey, finally.
Really?
So, Joe wins it with 24% away. Well played.
Excellent.
I wonder what people...
really?
I wonder what people put.
Oh, I think as soon as Brexit comes up, people will not be able to restrain themselves saying something stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the Daily Mail, and also just the fact that like those two things combined. I think we probably have quite a anti-Daily Mail contingent that come to our quizzes.
Oh, for sure.
And anti-Brexit, to be honest, if you're looking at Scotland. So,
yeah.
I mean, the question probably just rose up a lot of issues in people.
Yeah.
If you think of some of the team names you get.
Yes. You do sometimes get amazing ones, but then you get the odd one where you're like, this hasn't taken any thought. You just want to say something bad down the mic.
Hmm. Do you have a go-to like team name theme? Let's say you're like covering a quiz or something or starting a new place.
Yeah, but I'm naughty because I always do ones that are going to yield bad results. Like,
what's your favorite swear word? I'm going to read all of these out.
Imagine a swear word. Name three ways to get barred from this pub. Not any pub, this one in particular.
This specific pub.
Give me your worst pickup line. These ones.
The least politically correct pickup line, go.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, I literally was asking for horrible things.
Yeah.
I'm so shocked when you get
them. I know. And then I'm like, I'm never going to read this one over the mic. I can't believe you guys. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
I think that's where I'm jaded from it all, by the way, like over time. And now I can't think of a good team name ever. I thought of the best one I've ever thought of the other day.
Yeah.
What was explained Eurovision to somebody who's never seen it in five words.
Oh, that's good.
And it was only because somebody sitting at the table... Oh, I went round the tables. And supposedly the Queen's Arms are notoriously bad at doing team name themes. And then someone asked me, is there a team name theme? And I was like, oh, they're it. I could do one. Yeah, I could do one.
Yeah.
And so then I sent it to this team of guys, and they were like, one of the guys goes, I've never seen Eurovision. I was like,
there
never,
you go then.
Ever. And he was just like, not for me. Perfect. I was like, it's for everyone. I promise you it's for everyone. At least, don't you know, I find something hilarious about Eurovision. It's the least, like, it's the most open night. You can be whatever you want to be at Eurovision. It's completely open. Like, it's a very supportive place to be. But most judgmental night of the year, because you spend the whole time being like, what are they wearing?
Ugh. Yeah, you're assigning points to people.
Yeah, quite literally.
It's like, your song's rubbish and you're wearing a bin bag. What's going on? It's like, come and be whatever you want, but what you're doing is rubbish.
It's such a strange thing, because it's at the same time a beautiful pinnacle of democracy. You vote through that little app, you phone in, whatever. However, I'm raging because mine wasn't working. But besides the point. And then you get the countries coming in and voting, which is bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, the whole judge voting and then the popular vote from home.
Yeah.
I really like the way they reveal it all, though. Sorry, we've gotten to Eurovision and I was asking about team name themes and you've not even answered me that question. Sorry.
It's a logical sidestep.
It's because I was so pleased with my team name theme for Eurovision. It was... What was the good one? Gay competitive Christmas.
Yeah, it's like, that's it.
Yeah, pretty much exactly what Eurovision is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There was other really good ones. I'll try and remember what they were. I'll pop some up. Sorry, we were talking about Eurovision. Would you ever want New Zealand to be in Eurovision?
No.
What about Australia?
No, absolutely not. Australia. Yeah,
that was a loaded question.
But you're... Sorry.
No, carry on.
I think it's up. Somebody was saying this the other night, that this is the last year that you guys are contracted to...
Oh, really?
To be in. Contracted? Yeah, no, well, there was an agreement, and you, like, this was the last year that you were allowed.
I hope it's got some kind of name, cool. Like the Treaty of Versailles or something like that.
Yeah.
The Treaty of Adelaide.
Taught in the history books. Yeah, I don't really follow too much Eurovision.
Did you watch it?
No.
I didn't watch really any of the songs this year. I was out. But then I came back for the voting.
The voting is the best bit.
And it is brilliant just seeing the little tiny clips of the song. Because you know they've taken the bit that's the most kind of relevant, or whatever, the most catchy of the song.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so voting on that's brilliant. Because it's like, oh, that one seemed rubbish.
It's like voting on Vines.
Yeah, it is.
But this is how people work. That's what people do.
That's why I couldn't get behind what everyone was saying about the finish.
If I watched the entire Finnish performance, because genuinely it's...
Yeah.
Incredible.
From the
start. No, I feel passionately about this. Finland were robbed. Sweden can get to... Genuinely.
I did see a great reel going around. I don't watch TikTok because I'm old. But I watch reels 2 weeks after everything happens on TikTok. And so I was watching one where it's like Swedish people after Eurovision, and it's like listening to like the Finnish one on their headphones, and then they see the camera, and then so they switch over. It's like the Swedish one. I was listening to the Swedish one, honestly. And it's like every like loads of different situations around the house listening to the Finnish one, and then like it was Swedish. I was listening to the Swedish one. Yeah, honestly, like that's all.
The Finnish one is just objectively better. You know, he only learned English like in something insane, like 2 months. He learned English.
Oh wow!
Wow. Yeah. I didn't see him being interviewed much, but I did see the Swedish girl getting interviewed.
Yeah, Loreen. I mean, she's won before. She won in 2012.
I'm going to say this, and I know this, even for Eurovision, she seemed like a weirdo. Like,
is it because she's barefoot?
No, it's because she can barely talk.
She can't talk.
No, but the weird thing is, I when she first started speaking to her, it's like, oh, maybe she doesn't speak English very well. And that's a bit harsh, you know, putting them on like, you know, it's harsh sort of talking to them in such a kind of whatever. But then she would say things like, aren't the crowd bloody amazing? And it's like, what? Where have you learned English from?
This is what Swedes do, though. Not to roast my people. But, you know, because Swedes have this thing about being very proficient at English.
Yeah.
And, like, being very good. I get it here all the time at work when I'm talking to people. And I know they're Swedish because I have a sixth sense. I can smell it on them.
The Swede radar.
Yeah.
Is it because they're carrying like bags of IKEA and things? They're just being really stereotypical. Definitely Swedish.
Literally, this woman yesterday, I was like, you're Swedish. And she was like, I live in Midlothian. And I was like, yeah, fuck. No, come on, man. I know you're Swedish. Stop lying.
And what gives it away? Like
their
you
accent,
said,
the way they act, well, the pursed mouth. She was lovely. I really liked this mouth. One. Yeah, it's just like the attitude. It's a certain kind of rudeness as well. You don't find it many other places.
Do you think, actually, I've got one to come back to you about New Zealand, but do you think there is a look? Is this getting very close to kind of being a bit stereotype racist? No, I hope not. Do you think there is, like, do you think you could tell someone who's grown up in Australia, like, from by looking around the way they walk in? Like you work in the coffee shop. We should talk about this. You work in a coffee shop downstairs. Yes.
Yeah.
MF Coffee.
MF Coffee.
Still think it's the best name ever for a coffee shop.
MF Coffee. It's not because of, like, MF Doom, by the way.
Oh, that's not what I think it's for. But I like that as well.
It's not for what you think either.
But brilliant. And good coffee.
Excellent coffee.
It's become, that gallery bar has now become somewhere I really enjoy going for a coffee.
Yeah,
it's great.
Sick.
So we see you a lot in the coffee shop.
This is true.
So if someone was, like, walking into a coffee shop, do you think you could tell? Like, do you have to get them to say hi to you? Like, do they have to say hi?
No, you can see. You know what, Scott? You should have been in the mailing last night, because I was in the mailing last night doing the quiz. And in walk.
Cool. Okay. Sorry, I wasn't.
You should have been in the Maryland last night, because I was in the Maryland last night. That's
not what and we always do partner quizzing, so.
That would actually be so fun to do two people in the team.
Oh, anyway. Scott and I did that for the whole lockdown, and it was, let me tell you, it only got better every night.
Yeah, continue. This is true. Okay, so these boys walk in, maybe in their late teens, early 20s. Nah, early 20s, maybe 21, 22, I don't know. They're here, like a tiny wee fringe like that, mullet.
Absolute, like, filthy mullet, Australians.
Filthy
mullet. Yeah, well, 2 seconds in, they walk in, they're wearing, like, jandals and shit. I'm like, okay, you guys are obviously a fucking Australian, okay? And they walk up and they're like, "G'day, I'm from Perth." I was like, "No shit, obviously."
You didn't need to say that.
That's the first thing they announced.
I'm in a pub. Yeah, again.
No, because I was doing my intro and they were like, "Bro, she's a Kiwi, bro."
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so good.
And then they came
over.
I'm from Perth. And I was like, "Yeah, I know."
From Perth.
Cool. Yeah.
Anyways, that's what would you have been able to tell?
Well, from that.
Diffuse the situation. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, from that situation, it sounds like everyone could tell in that pub.
I know, but the manager
here comes
the pub.
Walking stereotypes.
Yeah.
The manager in that pub is also from Perth, so it's actually very wholesome.
Oh, that's
we
nice.
We came and had a grand old time.
Oh, that is nice. So, do you think you could tell Australians? Yeah. Sorry, that was quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a little, I'm trying to think if I could tell. I could definitely tell certain types of Scottish people, I think. There's definitely a sort of look, especially youths of Scotland. I feel like there is a certain look that is just like Scottish. I've got you. I know what you look like. I know how you walk. I know the way you walk in a group, that you're, like, so insanely, like, terrified of being outside this group, but also wanting to look hard. And it's like, oh, wow, you're really struggling with something here. And I get it. You know, you've got a problem, but you obviously never want to show it. And and if anyone questions you on it, it's going to be a problem. So I think I could see Scottish people. The one that I heard, and it just made me laugh so much. A friend of mine's Kiwi. We were in an airport, actually we were in Budapest airport after a stag party. So we were really struggling, and we were sitting there, like, at this, like, bar table, not drinking, trying to, like, recover our lives. And he turns to me, Kiwi guy, and turns to me and goes, "Look at that guy over there, definitely a Kiwi." And I was like, "What? Why did you know?" And he goes. Just got that sort of open jaw look of somebody who just doesn't care about what's going on around him. It's like, what do you mean? And he goes, I bet you he's a Kiwi. Yeah. And I was like, well, we have to find out now. And it just so happened he turned around and he was wearing, like, a Kiwi like sports top.
Right.
That you couldn't see from the back, because could not stop laughing. It's like, yeah, I mean, you've described something here that is, like, from quite far away, it was like, Kiwi. Definitely
a sniper. You can do it so well, though. It's crazy. My sister came to visit, and I was just like, you stick out like a sore thumb, and I don't know what it is. She was wearing, like, a wee cardi, and I was like, you could never be Scottish. You just look like a Kiwi, because you are, babe. But. Yeah.
I got called out when I was in Hawaii. This guy was, like, selling skydiving jumps or something. And we're just walking down the street, and he just stepped in front of us. We weren't talking or anything, and he just goes, "Australians." I was like,
How did you know?
Yes, yeah. But how? And he just goes, "It's just how you dress."
I always like, find that insulting.
Yeah. So sorry. Just dress brighter and than everyone else on the street. And then walking around the... And I was like, we do, actually.
I was down in Cheltenham a few weeks ago. And I was at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival. Yeah. I know I'm very classy. Yeah. And I was walking to get pints at one point. And I was wearing the Scotland top. My only outfit that I wear these days. I was thinking about this morning. I only wear one outfit, which is my Scotland pullover, like a sort of hoodie thing.
This is true, you do.
Yeah, only ever wear one thing.
Sorry.
These shorts, black shorts, white T-shirt. Love it. That's my outfit at the moment. Yeah. I like it. I enjoy wearing it. That's
yeah, wear uniform. Why not?
So I was wearing my Scotland. It's a Scotland rugby top. And not an overtly loud Scotland rugby top or anything like that. And I was walking in to get these pints, and someone like jumped out from behind a little crowd. I saw him beeline towards me, and he was very short, and quietly goes, "He's like, no, you're gonna hear." I was like, and so then I had to now imagine. Do you know a pantomime pose where you try and listen to people and you like go down with your hand and do a lunge?
Yeah.
Because I was already a few deep, I did that to this little man. And so went down into this pantomime pose. Turns out what he was saying to me was, "Do you know where I could score Eddie Gear?" It's like,
why did he put it's a Scotland jersey? It
made me laugh. So I immediately laughed because I was like, this whole situation is ridiculous. What just happened here? You've walked like past about 10 people to get to me, walking towards the bar, quietly whispered, "Do you know where I can get any gear?" And I've gone in a pantomime way. What was that you said to me, good sir?
Kind sir. Also, no offense, but you're not the most inconspicuous person in the world. If you're trying to score some gear, bad person to ask. Yeah.
I enjoyed it so much. So I sort of said, "Oh, no, I'm really sorry." And then I was like, "Why am I sorry that I can't?" Like, no, I'm not sorry so that I don't know.
Like, don't have sorry, any drugs, darling. Actually.
I laughed for like solid 10 minutes afterwards and I walked away because every time I thought about it, I was like, why did I do a pantomime pose? Like, what did I do? I'm listening to you, little man.
It's good because maybe he reconsidered what it was he was asking and why he should make such a childish request.
This is a big shout out to all the Patreons who support the fundraising wing. Stephen Lamb, Gatho, Russ Kirk, Catherine Andrews, the Canadian half of Hugalit Goose, Luddite 16, Susie Pope, Joe Williams, Rachel Alexander, Howl Owl, Shara Gitsari, and the other Patreons who have chosen to remain anonymous. We love you all and are grateful for your involvement. If you want to support us helping provide charities with free fundraising pub quizzes, please visit patreon.com/goosesquizzes for more information.
Okay, question five. We're on to the final question. In 1812, who did Lady Caroline Lamb say was mad, bad, and dangerous to know? So in 1812, who did Lady Caroline Lamb say was mad, bad, and dangerous to know?
And an absolute lad.
Lad. Lad, lad, lad.
Oh, I don't know.
You wrote it, so I'm assuming you know.
Johanna Devon, no. Lord Byron.
Lord Byron.
Lord Byron of Byron Burgers.
Lordy B.
Of Byron Burgers?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
I was going to say no.
It wouldn't surprise me if they started on a road that was named after Byron, and then they became Byron Burgers because they were on...
Bay?
Potentially.
I actually don't Australia? Know where Byron...
My cousin lives in Byron Bay.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so need a percentage of how many people you think knew this is correct.
Maybe dangerous to know. So sick.
Do you want me to tell you another percentage hint?
Yes.
If any year is mentioned that's before like 91...
People don't know.
People will switch off.
1815, it's not people that long. People do
their hands when you get a song that was like before in the mid 80s, before I was even born. It's like, history round is going to be awful for you.
People do groan sometimes. Or you get people very eager to show how good they are at history.
Yes.
The manager at the Burton Josh did a history degree, and he loves the history.
I went to the Britain the other day, and Josh is so nice.
Is Josh not the best person in the world? He is. I love Josh.
We got hot toddies for my friend there. That's he was so having cute. Such a bad reaction to hay fever.
Oh my gosh.
His nose and everything was streaming.
Oh,
so
bless.
He just had two hot toddies in a row.
Oh my God. That's quite cute.
Our order at that table was hilarious. I had a pint, a normal pint. Then Sunita had a glass of Prosecco. Terry had an old fashioned. Then Corny, his brother, had a hot toddy. So my little order was just the weirdest order of here's four very different drinks. Hot toddy and old fashioned are quite similar.
Yeah, the cocktails there are so good. I just had one of their Eurovision cocktails on Sunday. Ooh. It was very good, created by Lewis.
And please show me your boards, your percentages. We have. show me, what have you gone for?
49%.
49% for Scott.
Bullshit.
And you've gone for, Jim? 47%. So 47%, 49%, there's only 2% difference between them. I'll let you know it's not in between those two numbers, so it's not tight. It came out at 38%, which means...
Smashed it.
47% takes it, only 9% away, 11% away for Scott. So there you go. I mean, if we had had a few more questions here... It's going to be a very different game.
I know.
I feel like Joe is just sort of getting the...
Getting into my stride. This is what always happens. Absolutely. I give up early and then I build confidence.
Well, isn't that hard?
No expectation.
Zero. Lower than low.
And now that Bernie has fully actually settled down, I feel like I can relax into this podcast. And we're finished.
And we're done.
How did you find the percentage game?
Very difficult. Made me feel a little bit embarrassed. Warm of heart.
Good.
Warm of heart and appreciative.
Every Swedish myth that's told. It made me feel a little bit embarrassed and sad, but warm of heart. Yeah. And that's how we should all feel.
Enthusiastic.
I have another question.
Okay.
Have you watched Eurovision the film?
No.
What?
No. It doesn't feel... I don't... Will Ferrell, right?
Yeah.
No.
You know that he's married to Norwegian, I think.
Okay.
Norwegian or a Swede?
Cool.
There's many lines in the film where it's basically him just ragging at Americans. Him being really angry at Americans are like anywhere. It's part of his film in Edinburgh. Because it's as if the Eurovision's in Edinburgh.
I love Americans.
It's worth having a look watch of it because of just the car chase at one point. And they drive around Edinburgh streets. And because, obviously, you're on the
Edinburgh. Oh, I love that, actually.
And it turns a corner. And then it's like, that's not where that goes. And then there's a bit they turn the corner. And they're at the Armadillo in Glasgow. Yeah.
Oh, that's so enjoyable. I love watching stuff filmed here.
It is brilliant, though. There's a great scene where it's just Will Ferrell screaming at Americans to go to Starbucks or something. Why don't you just go to Starbucks? And brilliant. Anyway, sorry, I was just talking about Eurovision because now on my mind is Eurovision.
You're a real Eurovision fan.
I am quite a Eurovision fan.
You didn't even watch the performances.
Yeah, I kind of got my Saturday night mixed up and I was at a leaving party that I kind of hoped it would be on at, but it wasn't. So it
kind of takes over. You can't have it on in the background.
I was hoping it would take over.
It's a real focuser.
The Queen's Arms had a life-size cutout of Graham Norton standing next to me at the bar where I was doing the quiz from, and I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's cute. Yeah. He's a wee guy, no?
He is quite a wee guy. But also one of the best things of Eurovision was seeing him just looking completely fed up by the end of it.
Yeah.
He looked like he was done. He just didn't look like he wanted to be there by the end of it. Maybe it's just the way he holds himself.
I actually thought the hosting was lackluster.
You thought their hosting?
Sorry to say.
Be cool.
The British hosting, I expected more.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what to say. It was Hannah Waddington, who's from...
Yeah, she was great. She was great. Lasso. I don't know anyone's name or anything, but it was just a bit like, I feel like it could have been a little bit dry. This is what people expect from the UK, right? Dry humour, sarcasm, awkwardness, in a charming way.
I mean, Mel Gedroych did churn butter behind them for a solid few minutes.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. I enjoyed that bit.
And that I think probably was a highlight for me.
That was good. But you know, the rest of it, like the chat was just a bit dead.
I kind of feel that's how Eurovision is, though. It's the hosting at Eurovision always is a little bit kind of...
stilted.
Yeah, and clearly like slightly too scripted, but slightly underscripted. Mm. Like as if they've just before they've gone on the camera, it's like, it'd be funny if you said this. It's like, okay. Yeah. Then they say it. Apologies for any script writers for the Eurovision.
We'll throw our hats in the ring to host next year.
It's not going to
be in Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be in Malmö because that's where it was in 2013.
Homecoming.
Homecoming.
Yeah, that'll be good.
If there's a bunch of ABBA stuff, I'm out. I'm going to be raging.
Why are you not an ABBA fan?
I do like ABBA, but, you know, it's a bit overdone. Yeah. Especially in Scotland.
I mean, they managed to do, like, Eurovision in Liverpool and only mention the Beatles, like, I don't know, 50 times.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
I mean, ABBA is from Eurovision. That's the thing.
I know. This is the problem. But there are other... Digilu Digile is another excellent Swedish Eurovision entry that they could use.
Yes, definitely know that one. That's a well-known person here as well. Mm. Group. Person?
Group.
Group.
Talking about their golden shoes.
Oh, right.
Everyone's got some.
Yeah.
I am sad I didn't watch it all. I might go back and just watch the whole thing. Maybe just go and watch all the songs. But that probably sign of Bernie being annoyed again is a good sign for us to sign off.
Let's cut it there.
Yeah.
Because it's been a joy having you on.
Thank you for having me, guys. Yeah. This is so fun.
You're very welcome back.
Oh, it's very cute.
Oh, I didn't announce the scores.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was already assumed that Scott won the first three questions. So
yeah, I did the math in my head.
It was 8-7 to Scott.
Close, though.
But not too, not like...
Like you said, another few questions.
That I felt like, Joe was really getting the stride in, was getting there. So could have been all different. And if I was playing, I reckon I would have won this one.
Big call.
I say that every time. That's easy for you to say.
My big call, and the one I will stand by, is the more people that play, the better I do.
Well, okay, sure.
And often win. We bring in a guest, and there's three of us, I'll win it. Just because. But absolute pleasure having you on.
Yeah.
And having you host for us. You've been one of our longest serving hosts.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
Thank you so much.
I love it. Love my job, guys, just so you know. Really, really, really
That's
love
how
my
we brought
job.
You in. Thanks for saying it again. We just need that edification in our lives.
It's on tape now. So
yeah, good.
But no, absolute pleasure having you here. And I'm sure we will see you soon and probably hear from you soon again.
Yeah. Sweet.
Fantastic. Anything from you, Scott?
Nah. Everyone knows what to do. Go to the website, do the things, send some questions in for the People's Podcast.
Oh, yeah. And we'll get one of them coming up soon.
Yeah. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.